Good morning, everybody. I cannot get over that Macintosh video right there. That was phenomenal. And I thought it could be a legit TV show for a while. So Chase and Sarah and the Macintosh family, awesome job. But guys, good morning. I'm really excited about what we're going to be talking about today. We got two really inspiring, special speakers that are going to be speaking to us here in a minute. But today, you know, we're kind of wrapping up our series on practicing the way of Jesus. Let me see if the, please come up right here. Practicing the way. You know, we've been having an amazing series that's just been a blast. It's helped me tremendously. And today we're going to be finishing off that series together. One of the things that I love and appreciate about Jesus was that Jesus wasn't just some like lecturer that to come give us great spiritual principles or just some theological teacher or just a guy to kind of listen from and, you know, kind of like glean some great insights from. He was a guy kind of more like, he was more like a mountain guide, where you kind of get to watch Jesus kind of go through the adventure of life. You get to kind of watch him as he kind of takes on the different roads and kind of what he does. And we get to kind of follow right behind him. And we get to watch what he does. We get to hear what he says and explain why he does certain things. And to me, wow, what an amazing privilege it is, not just to kind of listen to Jesus and learn from him, but also to follow him and to kind of watch how he lived his life. And that's one of my favorite things about Jesus. And so today, one of the things that we're going to talk about is the idea of service and the discipline of service. Because you can't really follow Jesus around on a day-to-day basis and not see that a massive part of his life was in daily service of other people. That was just a practice. That was part of his life. It wasn't something that he probably had to go kind of work very hard to do. That was just kind of an organic part of his life. And so today we're going to be looking at, okay, what can we learn from Jesus as we watch him go and serve? What can we learn and how is it going to transform our lives as well? But service, I mean, it's what Jesus says about himself. You know, we know Mark chapter 10, you know, where it says that Jesus called them together and said, you know, that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, Dr. King kind of takes that quote from Jesus and makes it his own. He says, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. And that I love that quote from Dr. King. It's been one of my favorites for a long time. And one of the examples we see of Jesus with this and what he tells about himself is this parable over in Luke chapter 12. So go to Luke chapter 12 for a second. I love kind of this teaching of Jesus right here. Down in verse 35, he says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for their return, for his return, will be rewarded. You know, first of all, I love the posture of these servants right here. They're not just kind of hanging out, kind of hoping that he comes through the door at some point. It says that they're eagerly waiting. They're like in anticipation. Man, we can't wait for our master to come back. They're just waiting. They're by the door. They're kind of looking out to kind of see if he's coming down the road. They're like, man, I can't wait for my master to come back. Man, isn't that how we should be, you know, wanting Jesus' presence in our own lives? Where we're eagerly anticipating, where we're waiting by the door. We're excited for him to come in. We're not just kind of in the back, kind of like, he might come whenever. But man, we are intentionally waiting and ready for Jesus to come back. And I think that's what a lot of the disciplines we've gone through so far have helped us to do, is kind of just be there with Jesus, is to kind of sit in silence, to study his word, to rest in him and take time to think about him in all these ways of that eager anticipation for Jesus to come back. But how would you expect this story to go? You have these servants, you know, that are waiting for their master to come back from a wedding feast. You might expect them to come back. Maybe the master at this point is kind of an angry master. He's like, yeah, about time you serve me. Thank you. I'm coming home. I'm tired. You better kind of have my food ready for me, ready to roll, wash my feet, whatever it is. Maybe that was kind of the master. Maybe he was more of a nicer guy and came in and said, kind of gave him a fist bump as he's coming in and said, hey, thanks for serving me. This is awesome. I'm just going to kick back and get ready for bed. I love here what happens next. What kind of master it is that I think Jesus himself is even talking about who he is. It says, man, in verse 37, the servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Gosh, I love that about Jesus, that he wasn't just a master like he talked about in Mark 10 that just kind of lords it over us. It says, okay, do this and do that, and you better be this way. He says, no. I'm the kind of master. I'm the kind of servant that if you're there waiting for me, man, I can't wait to come in. I'm heading to the back. I'm putting on my own apron, my own servant's clothes. I'm going to put you down at the table. I'm going to feed you some good food today and serve you. And that's how Jesus wants to be, I feel like, in our lives. I think it's so easy for us, though, to read this parable sometimes in that kind of like, hey, be dressed and ready for service. Because when you come back, when the master comes back, he's going to punish you for not waiting. He's going to be ticked off. You have to be that kind of eager, waiting servant, that good Christian servant, or else you're not really going to get the benefits of the master. And I think sometimes that might be more of a little bit of a selfish way to look at this parable, because I don't think the point is looking at the servants, but the point is looking at the audacity of the master. That he was a master that like, oh my goodness, look at this guy. He's coming in and not serving himself, but he's deciding to go serve his servants right there. And I think that's the very nature of Jesus himself. But for us, who are the servants that are going to be the ones to benefit from the master? Well, it's going to be the ones that are in eager anticipation for him, that are dressed and ready and waiting for Jesus to come. Jesus has served us in so many ways. How has Jesus served you this week? I think it wouldn't take you a while to actually, if you sat down and think about it, you could think through all the amazing ways that Jesus has already taken care of you and served you even in the last week. I think it's really helpful to think through that stuff. And I think if we're trying to be like that guy, if we're trying to be like Jesus, if we really think that's the way to go, man, we also have to take on that nature of being a servant, of greatness kind of being the person that serves. Two of my heroes in this, two people that this is their lifestyle, that I'm like, if you just kind of are with them for 2 minutes, you know that this is a massive part of their life. And that is Noelle Broyles and Jasmine Jackson. Noelle is my mother-in-law, so I get to see it up close and personal. And Jasmine, I mean, has just touched the whole entire church in so many ways. And they're going to go ahead in a minute and give us and share with us some of their thoughts on and service. And so I'm going to introduce you right now to Noelle Broyles.
Hey, everybody. I'm so glad to be together today, and I'm so glad that we can talk about, explore, and plan and practice how to walk like Jesus throughout our lifetime. I love the fact that the Bible tells us that whoever wants to follow him must walk as he does, must walk as Jesus does, must follow in his footsteps. The Bible doesn't tell us we need to run like him or warp speed it like him, but walk like him. And I think it's because Jesus, as he walked, he was with people one by one, who's ever on the left, who's ever on the right. And when you walk, it's capturing the moment. And that's first and foremost what Jesus did. He captured. He didn't miss a moment. You know what every person in the world craves from the time they're born until the time that they die throughout their whole life is to be seen, is to be loved, is to be cherished, is to matter, is to feel valuable, and to live a life that makes a difference, to live a life that matters. And Jesus came to help us to understand you do matter. God loves you. He made you. He loves you. He treasures you. And I'm here to help you in any way, to serve you, to help you, to know with all your heart that this is true. Love is seeing what people need and doing whatever we can to help meet that need. And serving are the actions that we do to help people to feel loved. So Jesus came to live a life of serving and loving, and we get to live like him. You know, the world is craving to be seen. You think about all the people that take selfies every day. I read that 93 million selfies are posted on the internet every day, that one selfie is posted on Instagram every second, one selfie per second every day. People are craving to matter. They're craving to be seen. They're craving to be valued, and that's why Jesus came. You know, the disciples in Acts 10 described Jesus' life. There's so many ways to summarize his life, but one of the ways that I love in Acts 10 is they said Jesus just went around doing good and healing everybody because God was with him. That's what he did. John said at the end of John that Jesus did so many things that these are only a few things recorded so that you'll believe how much he loves you. But he did so many things that I don't even think there's enough room in the whole world to contain all the books about what he did. So we get to be like him. That's amazing. We all want to be. We were made to be like him. We were born again to grow up, to become like our Savior, our big brother, Jesus, who showed us how to live and how to walk through life and walk into eternity. It's the most amazing life ever. We were made for this. So how can we walk like Jesus and live a life of serving? I have a few snapshots of Jesus, a few moments of Jesus that I keep in my heart, like we keep photos in our phones. I keep these in my heart. Number one, it's how Jesus introduced himself to the world. In Luke 4, verse 14 and on, it says, Jesus spent time with God in solitude. And then he's like, okay, it's time to go love. He walks into the synagogue where he grew up. He found Isaiah 61, and he started reading it and said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach good news, to heal up those who are brokenhearted, to treat fairly those who have been hurt and oppressed. He rolls it back up. Go back and read Isaiah 61. It's great. He rolls it back up, gives it to the attendant. He sits down and he says, today, I'm going to live like this today. You're going to see God living in me. So we get to start each day introducing ourselves to the world afresh like that. Today, I'm going to live and love like Jesus. If yesterday was a bad day, if we messed up, things didn't quite go as we planned, it's okay. We've got today. Another snapshot of Jesus is how he teaches us, don't go through life trying to plant boulders and do everything in some perfect right way. He said, just go through life and plant seeds wherever you go. Scatter them. Mark 4, 26 and on says, when you scatter seeds and you go home at night, I'm going to keep making them grow. That's the way my kingdom is. You plant, I'll make them grow. And we get to plant seeds every day. Seeds, as we walk through life, are we get to see people, S-E-E, and we get to do something, D-S. Plant seeds, see people, and do something. Everybody can plant seeds. It doesn't matter if you're old or young, or rich or poor, or, you know, strong or weak, an adult or a child. Everybody gets to plant seeds. Seeds are small, but they're life-changing and powerful. Seeds are smiles. Seeds are encouraging words. Seeds are remembering people's names. Seeds are asking, how can I help? Is there anything I can do? Seeds are letting people know that you see them. And then you do something. We get to walk like that every day, scattering seeds. It's just amazing. The other snapshot of Jesus that I love so much is how Jesus was so often surrounded by crowds, chaos, confusion, surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of people. He probably had children hanging all over him, probably walking with older people, kids on his hip, on his back. He just was surrounded, but he always saw the one. One of my favorite snapshots of Jesus is in Luke 7, verse 11 and on, when the Bible says that he was surrounded by a crowd, and he looked over, and he saw a widow who was surrounded by a crowd, and she had just lost her son. So he was surrounded by a crowd, she was surrounded by a crowd, but he always saw the one. That's how Jesus walked. He saw her, his heart went out to her, he spoke to her, He went to her. He touched her son. Everybody stopped because she didn't touch dead people, you know, stopped. He gave her back her son, and you better believe they were jumping up and down, screaming, everybody rejoicing. It even says that the people who watched this happen and watched Jesus' love said they were amazed. And so they praised God and they said, God is here. So, you know, it isn't always just the person that we may be helping and serving that it makes a difference in their lives. It could be the people around us watching, going, wow. Or, to be honest, it's even ourselves, because we are so much more blessed when we're giving than when we're striving to get. You know, people today, just like during Jesus's lifetime, long to be seen and loved and valued, treated fairly and with justice. And you know, Jesus always shows us throughout these snapshots of walking alongside of him that if we would just imitate Christ's example every day with everyone, everywhere, and every moment, the people walking in darkness will see a great light. Let's have fun loving like Jesus did.
Good morning, family. It's your sister Jazz Jackson, and I am humbled to share about service this morning. But I want to chat about the YES program, Youth Empowerment Services, celebrating 5 years this summer. Woo! I feel like when I'm asked to share things at church, it happens to be the one thing I feel most insecure about. And honestly, just this 2020 season of YES and having to cancel our spring program and having to cancel our summer camp and not being able to have Servapalooza, and we were going to have our Hope Youth Corps come this summer. I can feel like in this new direction that we've gone, where we've of course still managed to connect with family, and so many of you are taking food to families, and many of you are joining us next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday over at the Marietta 6th Grade Academy. Thank you so much. But I can feel like I don't think I'm doing enough. I'm not enough of a servant. And of course, that is of the flesh. That is sin to focus on myself in that way. So what I love about all of these spiritual disciplines we've been talking about, they're all anti-self. And when I'm in my right mind, which is the mindset of Christ, I know that service is not about me. There's a scripture I've been holding on to this year from 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, that in context, it's directed towards widows, but it just really speaks to me. And it says that she who is self-indulgent is dead, even as she lives. So even as I live and do good things or serve, if those things are about myself, to make them about indulging what I want or what I desire to see or to be seen as, then all of those things are dead. Service is anti-indulgence and pro-grace. There's a scripture that always comes to mind when I think about the YES ministry, and that's from 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, and this is from the NASB. Verse 7 reads, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." I actually would love to pause there for a moment. Tom and Kelly Brown taught me when I was a young girl coming out of college into the ministry. Psalm 90 verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom." And I'm so grateful for that lesson. When we know that we are on borrowed time, finite time, we really operate differently. I'm not going to pretend to be a sports person at all, but I have seen this happen a few times, so I think I can pull it off. But if you think about the end of a basketball game and there's 2 seconds left on the clock and someone just throws a ball from the other side of the court in hopes that it will go through the net. Now, that's because they have 2 seconds left. If the game just started and that was the first thing somebody did, you would think they were you are crazy. But we operate differently when we know that this is not going on forever and ever. And I don't know about you, but 2020 has provided a little more help in this area of realizing, wow, this world is truly not our home. we don't have all the time in the world, and we've got to have our priorities aligned with that truth. Moving on to verse 8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I also want to read the NIV of verse 10, which says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The scripture talks about stewardship when it comes to service. Maybe when we think about stewardship, the first thing that comes to mind is money. Any money we have is God's, and He allows us to spend His money. So if we translate this to service, if we're stewards of service, God has this infinite supply of grace that we get to hand out. We get to spend it. We get to lavish it on the world through service. But I most often get to see the varied forms of God's grace expressed through service, through watching people serve with the YES program. I see God's grace through being a tattoo artist or DJing or go-karting, celebrating, yoga, taekwondo, gaga ball, picking up trash, providing supplies, sharing food, young people being thoughtful of other young people, remembering our neighbors when we plan events at the church, sharing skills we use at work and in our profession with the kids. I'm so grateful that God paints pictures of these spiritual disciplines and people who excel at them. Every year we honor two people with the Golden Trowel Award. This year we're honoring two people who really stepped up when YES needed big time help. Nikayla Williams. I can't count the number of things she's been willing to help with. Nikayla has been reliable, consistent, so eager to step in. We also honor the only YES volunteer that's been cool enough to get a nickname from the kids, and that's Trevor Bowen, aka Thanos. Trevor is so dedicated. Sometimes on Saturday mornings, he would take like 5 different buses even just to get to YES. But the reason he started volunteering with YES is he heard we had a lack of brothers, and he stepped up to the plate. Thank you, Nikayla and Trevor. You are tremendous gifts to us. Family, when it comes to service, we are truly surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I mean, what an incredible group of servants that we are amongst. But we still have an opportunity to grow in the sobriety of our thought and priorities, in our fervent love, in offering hospitality, and of course, being stewards of God's grace through service. And may He be glorified forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Noelle and Jasmine. Incredible, incredible heroes, you know, for all of us. Love those pictures of them working with the kids. I just want to share a quick story of how service for me, I learned a very kind of valuable lesson. It was a small one, you know, it was kind of just a normal day. I remember back in high school, there was a time where I played a lot of basketball and, you know, going to my senior year, thought I was going to get picked as captain. Some stuff happened to my coach, didn't work out. Thought I was kind of gypped a little bit on that. And that day, my mom worked with a boy named Sterling. I'll show you a picture of Sterling right there. He was blind, had a tumor in his brain, and my mom would invite me sometimes to go read to him. And we would read, and I remember this particular day I came in, and he had a big smile on his face, was so excited just to be able to read together. And right at that moment, it kind of totally took all of my kind of selfish stuff out of the way. Seeing him, seeing like, you know what, like my problems gosh, like it just kind of put it in perspective just because I felt like Jesus was kind of serving me in that moment right there through my man Sterling. And I feel like in this time right now, that's what we need. We need a little bit of time just to kind of get out there and just kind of serve somebody. In the middle of kind of this time right now, to me, it's just even more important. I know for me to say, man, I got to get out. I got to go serve. I got to do something to kind of help somebody else. And so as we wrap up, you know, the service, as we wrap up our spiritual disciplines, you know, just want to end off, you know, with this incredible picture of an athlete as we finish off, where this is Simone Biles. If you say, hey, Nick, you got to get up there and start doing some of that stuff on the balance beam, and you got to be like her, I mean, I'd probably get up and rock that right now, you know? But, you know, even if you said, hey, I know her, we're cool, we're friends, we talk, but I had to go out and actually kind of be like her, gosh, no way I could do that, right? We got to spend some time eating like the athletes, training like the athletes, kind of doing what they do, kind of when no one else is watching. And it's the same thing for Jesus. If we try to go out and be like Jesus in this world, but we don't actually live the lifestyle that he's living on a daily basis, putting in the practice, putting in those disciplines, we're going to find it even harder to kind of be like him in real life. And so all the things we've learned, let's keep practicing. Let's keep going. Let's keep putting these things into action in our life for now and continuing for the rest of our life. So glad to be doing this series, and I hope you've enjoyed it as well. We're going to pray for the communion, have a song, and get on with the rest of our service. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have stooped down to serve us in so many ways. God, you are extraordinary. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who took on the very nature of a servant and made in all human likeness that he could kind of die for us and kind of lay down his life for us. Please help us take on his example and lay our lives down in service for each other. We love you, God. Thank you so much for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.